Morning.
Good morning.
Well, today this is the day that the Lord has made. We choose to rejoice in this day. He has given us life. He has brought us together. This is not by accident. It's by divine appointment. We believe in Jesus. We believe that God is sovereign. And he brings his people at an appointed time. So, relax, enjoy being here because this is God's doing. And we are grateful for his mercies, which are new every morning. We are excited this year. We are starting, we have our theme, you know, and we're going to study this lovely book called the Book of Galatians. Our theme for this year is understanding salvation through the Book of Galatians. We want to understand what it means to be saved. And what a better book to choose for us to dwell on. For those of you who are Christians, who are versed into church history, this book was the earliest letter written even before the Gospels. It's believed it was written between 49 AD to AD 53, somewhere there. It was the earliest. And it was written by Apostle Paul. Now, you can imagine, Jesus ascended in AD 33. So there's a little bit about 20 years in between. So Paul, an apostle, was a contemporary of Jesus. But he was somebody who persecuted the church. He went all out to persecute the church, and the Lord arrested him on the road to Damascus. He opened his heart. And Jesus spoke to him and said, "Why are you persecuting?" And Jesus literally, first of all, he had to make him blind a little bit. And later on, someone prayed for him, he opened his eyes. He turned from being a fanatic Pharisee to someone who would follow Jesus with all his heart. So we want to study this book. And by the way, when we say AD 49, it simply means in the year of the Lord. It's taken from Latin, meaning Anno Domino, AD, Anno Domino. It's a Latin word, Latin phrase, but it's in the year of the Lord. And BC, before Christ, it's not like, us who are born before Christ, but it's before Christ. So when you see those letters, just know. In fact, the letters, the way they are calling them, is not AD, CE, Common Era. And it's from the Gregorian calendar. This is where we get our calendar, where we started from zero and then coming to today. And why this book of Galatians? Why did Paul write this book of Galatians? Two things. First of all, he wanted to write to make sure that the freedom the Galatians had was preserved. Read the book of Acts. The book of Acts, is written chronologically. When you read the chapter 15 of the book of Acts, there is what we call the Council at Jerusalem. And that Council at Jerusalem was to make sure that these Galatians can have freedom. There were those Christians who were the Judaizers. They infiltrated. When we say Galatians, there are so many churches in Galatia, north and south, but there were all these churches. So they had to write a letter. Paul had to write a letter to the council at Jerusalem to resolve this issue. Because the Judaizers, they believe, you Galatians, you are not saved. You need to follow the law. You need to be circumcised. They believed in the works. Well, the Galatians were saved by faith. You don't need to be circumcised. So all these things were tensions, but they had to resolve. And when you read the book of Acts chapter 15, you see the resolve where the apostle says, "We have nothing else to burden you, but only for you to go and take care of the widow and the poor." So Paul was the one who planted this church, these churches through his secondary missionary journey. So we see this book as very important for us, for those of you who are not saved yet, we believe you will be saved. You know, God will bring you to his fold. For those of you who are Mark Wampers, you are on the fence, you are deciding, you are thinking, can I go in, can I jump in? We want you to jump in. Because this gospel, this book of Galatians, will open your eyes to what God has for you and me. So we begin this message, understanding salvation through the book of Galatians. Galatians deals with several key themes. One of them is law. The other one is grace. Why law? Because of the Judaizers. They were thinking you have to be under the law. Grace, because it's not by law, it's by grace that you are saved. And it deals with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, our Lord's death, his resurrection, salvation, and the big word, sanctification. Simply put, be holy, set apart for the work God has given you. All these critical gospel-related realities are part and parcel of the book of Galatians. We want to study. We want to enjoy this book. For several weeks this year, we're going to dwell on this book. I encourage you. You know, sometimes you can just sit one sitting and just read that whole book. And the next sitting, you read it with your notebook. You have been given text here. You have a notebook. When it's full, bring it back. We'll look at it and we'll give you another one. If we don't see anyone bringing a full book, then you are not writing anything. So, Galatians is freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from judgment, freedom from hell. Freedom from all forms of spiritual bondage and liberation into the glorious purposes and grace of God. And you might be here seated and go, yes, this is the school I like. Freedom! I just want to be free! I'm coming from Lusaka, I don't want my parents to see what I do. I am free! I don't want to stay in the dorm. I'd rather have a boarding house because I just want to be free. I have news for you. The freedom we are talking about is not the freedom you are thinking. This freedom, you know, Paul, in chapter 5, verse 1, says it was for freedom that Christ set us free, not to be yoked with the yoke of slavery. In other words, not to go back to sin. It's not the freedom we hear of many countries. They say they are free. Yes, they are free. But are they free? Do they have this freedom which we are talking about? Unless you are born again, your trust is in Jesus, you walk with him, then you have this true freedom we are talking about. So the book of Galatians has been called the Christian's Declaration of Independence. In other words, when we got independence in 1964, we go, oh my goodness, we are free. We are no longer under somebody else. We are truly free. And it has been identified as the battle cry of the Reformation. There are two things which happened in church history. The first one was the Great Schism. In 1054, the two churches split. You hear of the Eastern Orthodox and the Western Orthodox. Western, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Eastern, the Greek, the Russian, they split over one thing. The Eastern Orthodox, they believed that Holy Spirit is a force. For those who watch those movies, may the force be with you. They believed in the force. The Western, the Roman Catholic, they believed that the Holy Spirit was a person. He's part of this Godhead, the Trinity. So they battled and they split in 1054. We call it the Great Schism. The other one was in 1500, 1536, somewhere there, the Reformation. The Reformation, you cannot start the Reformation without studying the person we call Martin Luther. It was during his lecture, Professor Luther, as he was lecturing through this book of Galatians, that God gripped him. He was a monk. He thought he had arrived, but he punished himself. He worked so hard, to attain this salvation, to attain this grace. And when he read this book as he was teaching, his eyes opened. He realized justification by faith. We are born again by grace through faith. And through that, as he was studying and debating with the fellow monks, this is what it came to. This is what we call the Reformation. The Protestant Church began. The understanding during that time, the Roman Catholic was, they believed in indulgences. Indulgences meaning if your brother or sister is sick, or your mother, if you can only drop some money, and they make sure that it was a big thing so that when you dropped it, they hear it and they go, oh, he has moved. Or someone has died, he says, oh, he has just moved. If you put in more money, you move. We call them the indulgences. And Martin Luther struggled with that when we die, we go to be with the owner. There is no other place where we go to. That's the Reformation. That's where we have Baptist churches, we have Anglican churches, we have all these evangelical churches. Because of that understanding. And Martin Luther called this, he says, I'm married to the book of Galatians. It's like I'm married to my wife, because it was so sweet to him. And it's from the book of Galatians that now he wrote, the book of Romans and all these other epistles. Galatians chapter 1. We'll deal with 5 verses. Overview. And while we are dealing with these first 5 verses, this is a summary. When you are doing a thesis, you are writing your final project, you have what they call an abstract. You write your abstract because in that you are telling the supervisor and whoever is going to read your thesis that this is what it's all about. What I'm writing is here. And that's what the Apostle Paul wrote the first 5 verses. It's the gospel. He summarized the whole thing which we are going to do into these 5 verses. Verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches. In verse 1, he says, Paul lays claim to the unique authority of an apostle. Remember, during that time, to be an apostle, you had to meet certain requirements. And for you just to call yourself an apostle, the church was going on. There are only 12 apostles. When Judas Iscariot died, they had to add Matthias. And Matthias now was the 4th. How come there's another apostle? But Paul is saying, I am an apostle not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ. The apostle, the definition of an apostle during that time was someone who was there, who walked with Jesus during the 3-year ministry. An apostle. And today we have so many apostles out there. God bless them. And the second one is that it's witness of his post-resurrection ministry. In other words, you were there when he was ascending. You are an apostle. And the third one is, you were chosen by Christ. That's the, you know, the core meaning of an apostle. But Paul is saying, I have authority, I'm an apostle. In other words, he's connecting it to his trip to persecuting the church on the road to Damascus, where he saw the light and Jesus spoke to him and chose him. In other words, you, Paul, I prepared you for the ministry to the Gentiles. The Gentile is someone who was a non-Jew. I prepared you ministry to the Gentiles. And for that, because what Jesus did in him, he said he was an apostle. But the little meaning for us today is someone sent. If a church, you know, wherever they are, if we have a church, you know, in my church, we have people, we, you know, not a Baptist church, we have sent someone to plant a church in George. He is our apostle. It's the sent one. That's what it means. It's the sent one. So Paul is saying, mine was from Jesus. In other words, I have authority in Jesus to speak to you, to write to you. Because what I'm writing is definitely, I'm hearing from God. And I wanted to write to you so that you can hear what I have to say. So very important, those two. And he's saying he wrote it, you know, with, alone. But he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. The theologian, they will call it, this is a salutation. The first five verses, it's an introduction, the salutation. You know, it's a greeting, it's one word of greeting, but it's loaded with theology. Verses 3-5, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. To the Galatian church, he says, grace. Grace means unmerited favor. You didn't come to Christ in your own volition. You came to Christ because God had grace on you, Galatians. He gave you. He initiated the process. You never initiated. You were a corpse. You were dead, but grace. The unmerited favor, and he gave you the ability even to respond to him. Rest. And he says, peace, shalom. The whole being, may you be who you are. When you go to Israel today, I hear, you know, the greeting is shalom, but they say it very well. They say, be well. Be well. Shalom. Be well. And he says, grace to you and peace from whom? From God. You know, because it's not as the peace the world knows it. You know, the world has this sense of peace. You know, the tribes are not fighting. No hunger now, no one is striking. And, you know, between nations, things are good. And we call it, there's peace. Now, this is more than that. It might include that, but it's more than that. Be well. You, the born-again Christian, you who love the Lord, be well. Whether you're a business person, whether you're a pastor, be well. So the content of verses 3 and 5 may be summed up like this. Grace may now come to you, Galatians. Glory may now go to God. So in other words, we receive grace, we give him glory. We receive grace, we give him glory. Because he's the one who has done this to us. For Christ has died for our sins and freed us from the present evil age. This is I mean, this is what we are studying. This salvation through the book of Galatians, he has freed us from the present evil age. He has given us salvation. You can't just have freedom if Christ has not given. He has to give you grace for your eyes to open. And once your eyes are open, then you are free. You are freed from the bondage of sin. And no wonder he's saying, freed us from the present evil age. Verse 3 is the offer of grace and peace to the Galatians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 is the ascription of glory to God, to whom be glory forever and ever. In between there is verse 4, which is the death of Christ for our sin and our new freedom from the present evil age. So when we see people here at Nostra, we want to see people are free. We're free indeed. You love the Lord, you save him. You don't have all these weird ideas. You know, because you know sometimes when you know people go to college, they say, you know, my parents can't tell me what to do. Now I am free here, I can do whatever, and your body is itching, you know, you want girlfriend and everything else. And before you know it, you are not studying, you know, our grades are going down and you're looking at us, you know, it's the teacher, blame the teacher, you know, what else? I don't have material, you know, what else? Things are not organized here. You have to blame something, but really, the blame is you. You are not experiencing the freedom of Christ. When you experience that freedom, it changes you. It changes you. Therefore, even though verses 1 to 5 is formally a salutation or a greeting, Paul has already gotten down to the main business at hand. Verse 1 and 2, he claims authority for his message. Verse 3 and 5 give a summary of that message. Grace and peace be with you and the glory of God. The cross supports the gospel. Without the cross, you know, we can't have this grace. We can't have this peace we are talking about. It's the name of Jesus. And since that great sacrifice and the deliverance it achieved was all according to God's will and plan, Paul breaks forth into a doxology of praise to God. To whom be glory forever and ever. What does it mean to be delivered from the present evil age? Jesus prayed for us in John 17, verse 15. It says, Father, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from evil. The present age is an evil age because sin has such a grip on our lives and on the institutions of our society. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be free. Freedom, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So the message today is one of those biblical paradoxes. Paul, an apostle, not with mere human authority, but with the very authority of Jesus and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Subject yourselves to this word, submit to this authority. Verse 4 gives, Christ gave himself to deliver you from the present age. So my appeal to you today is this. Remember that Christ died to cover all your sins, so that a holy God would come upon you with gracious power and free you from the evil of this world. Live every moment by faith in him, and you will not think or feel the way the world does. And remember that this Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road and commissioned him as an apostle. And today speaks to us through his letter to the Galatians. He died to free us from a mindset that leads to destruction. And he rose and authorized the writing of this book to fill us with a mindset that leads to eternal life. Trust him. study him. It will be grace to you and glory to God. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We pray that may we understand this grace as we introduce this book. God, prepare our hearts that indeed we understand what true freedom is all about. And we thank you, Lord, for the Apostle Paul, the way you led him, the way you gave him this message for us today. We pray that we embrace this message with our whole hearts. We thank you and we give you glory. Pray and ask in Jesus' name. Thank you.